Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is from Vista, California. He's the founder of Heroes of Evermore on Instagram, which is a homebrewed in-person D&D 5e campaign going above and beyond with player immersion, breaking down the fourth wall, bringing the players into the realm. He just launched his book, Heroes of Evermore, An Unlikely Gathering Part 1 on Amazon. He's working on the beta version of a low-poly third-person RPG video game in the world of Evermore. You know him as the dungeon master of Heroes of Evermore. Please welcome Morgan Dangerfield. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
Man, thank you so much for being on Raised on D&D today. I'm so excited to have you. We love the campaigns. We're so excited about the book, and we can't wait to see what's coming up next. But before we jump into all of that, can you take us back to your very first experience with tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons & Dragons?
Ooh, yes, yes. First off, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate you. And happy to be here. And yes, oh man, takes me back. I want to say like 13 years ago, I had a buddy of mine who introduced me to it. Now, this was more so Theater of the Mind. He had, I don't even know what edition he was running, right? It was like, it could have been fourth edition at that time. But he was able to draw out little, you know, just on paper and pencil. And we had our minis, we had our dice, and we were throwing it. And it was probably only three sessions of this homebrew, and people couldn't make it. So it didn't follow through. But to this day, I still remember everything that happened in that little mini campaign that we had. And man, I was hooked from then on. So, I had to take a break. I hadn't played in like 10 years after that because of life and careers and work and, you know, friendships detached. So
you get this first experience, and it's just this mini campaign, just a few sessions. And just like so many of us gamers, our tables are fluid. People move, people go off to school, things go different, and life takes us apart. Morgan, what kind of character were you playing that very first campaign?
Oh, yeah, it was a half elven ranger, and I ran him like a, you know how most your first characters mimic yourself in essence and what you want to be. And he was I had him, you know, he had a revolver. He also had a sword. You know, he was like this kind of gun. I loved Clint Eastwood movies. And, you know, he had that rustic like bounty hunter vibe to him, and had a little bit of magic he could throw in there later on. But yeah, it was fun. It was so fun.
That's awesome. So you take a hiatus about 10 years going through life, work, all those things, and then you come back around to the game. Morgan, what finally brought you back to the table after a decade?
Yeah, great question. I just had the itch. I had the itch to play again. I had been feeling it here and there throughout that hiatus. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to get back into that. I want to see what's going on. And I started doing research and digging and asking people if they had ever played, and figuring out that I'm going to have to be the DM. So I just start researching. I'm looking up, I find Dungeon Dudes videos, and I find Matthew Colville videos running the game series. And so I'm reading up on how to play and how to do all this. And in my research, I find that Critical Role at that time had just started their second campaign. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the following in this for D&D. Are you kidding me? This is insane. And just to see it blow up, and I'm like, oh, this is great. So then I started watching their first campaign and instantly immersed back into the realm. And they were running 5e, and it was beautiful to watch and then to learn. So, yeah.
I think that's amazing. And, you know, and you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter how long you're away from the table, that feeling that you get rolling those dice with family and friends, it just never leaves you. I think what's beautiful about Critical Role is how many people either discovered the hobby or have been brought back to it thanks to it. And I think that you're absolutely right. When you see the following, when you see the critters, right, you see that and you go, wow, I'm not alone. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for over 30 years, and I grew up way back in the dark ages of the secret handshakes, meeting in basements, things like that. Okay. And so there it was something that you didn't tell people that you did. And I think that the great thing that streaming shows like Heroes of Evermore have done is it pulls back the veil. It lets people see this is what we were doing in the garages, in the basements, at the dining room tables all those years. And it was fun and it was creative and it was something that you couldn't do anywhere else, any way else. And by pulling that veil back and allowing people to see it from that spectator standpoint, it's encouraged so many people to sit down, pick up the dice and try it. And I just love that Heroes of Evermore are keeping that going. Before we jump into that, Morgan, do you have any children?
I do. Yes. Our firstborn daughter, 15 months now, she's starting to talk. She's not walking. She's running. It's crazy, as you know. It is crazy, but she is the cutest thing ever. We've even done a little photo shoot already of her in her little future Dungeon Master shirt. You know, you gotta support.
That is fantastic. And mine are quite a bit older. I've got three. My oldest is 17. I've got a 16-year-old. I got a 14-and-a-half-year-old. So they're little stair steps. They're all together. And we started gaming with them when the oldest was about 4 and the youngest was about 2.5. I had to use like enlarged dice for the youngest one so he didn't choke. But we had this day where my wife was busy. She had to go run and do these things. And it was like my really first time alone with all three kids, like for all day. And I had just watched all the Disney Channel, all the Wiggles, all of the kid shows that I could watch for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I said, we've played games and we're doing all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. They won't take naps all at the same time. Like one will take a nap, but the two won't. And then the next, and like, oh my gosh. So I'm like, okay, I've got to do something. What can I do? And I said, that's it. I'm going to give it a try. I pulled out the Dungeon Master screen. I pulled out maps. I pulled out miniatures. I pulled out the dice. I pulled out character sheets. Only one of them could really read at the time, but I pulled out character sheets. Didn't matter. Right. And pulled out all the books, and for almost 45 minutes, they were glued to the table and just watched. I have photos of that very first gaming experience with them up on Instagram and Facebook. And it was just incredible. And I went, wow, this really worked. This worked.
Yeah, so cool.
My wife and I have been gamers. And we were like, you know what? We're going to introduce this to the kids. And back in those days, there weren't all of these games designed for children. Like you had to like take Dungeons and Dragons, you had to take Pathfinder, and you had to water it down and make it work. And now there's all kinds of great options like Hero Kids RPG, Amazing Tales, Playground Adventures, all kinds of great options. No Thank You Evil. All of these great games that are designed specifically for kids. So Morgan, when she gets there, there's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to be able to game with. So is your wife also a gamer?
I grew up video gaming. I grew up tabletop gaming, back playing Risk, like on the floor of a living room when we're teenagers, you know, mm-hmm. for hours at a time. It's so beautiful. My wife did not, but she was a supportive spouse and she jumped into our first campaign. And gosh, that campaign went for 2+ years. So she followed it through and loved it and had some amazing final kills, some beautiful Nat 20s, some even beautiful Nat 1s. Like it was fun to have her next to me at the table and try as a dungeon master, trying not to give too much grace there.
and she's also a part of the Heroes of Evermore show. Which character does she play?
So in campaign one, she played Flora. And she's made an appearance, a celebrity appearance in campaign two, but she is a elven princess from the elven kingdom of Dwellden. And she was kind of held trapped kind of by her parents. They wanted her safe. And so she escaped on her own to go defeat this evil and protect her people from it. So all good intentions there, but she's had real fun with it. It was great.
That is fantastic. Now, the players that play with you on Heroes of Evermore, are anyone else around the table related to you?
No, actually, that comes into when we were talking about first starting up and asking people, and how you were saying how there's like secret handshakes back then and stuff, and going into the basement and yeah, it's become much more publicized now, which is great, but still it's difficult to approach people. And as a seasoned dungeon master now, I encourage people, just ask people, like, don't be scared of what they're going to think. You know, now it's this full-fledged movie that's out, so has a lot more. But before that, even I'm like, hey, do you like tabletop games? Like people at church or on our soccer team. And so that's how I kind of gather, just through friends and network and social events. So ask them and got our people at the table. Yeah.
That is fantastic. So the cast of Evermore comes together by you kind of pulling from all your social circles and just kind of feeling people out and being real gentle about, hey, table. Yeah, hey, do you ever play any board games? You like tabletop? You know, oh, you want to try this immersive, like character-driven story-based game called Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah. It's just a game night. We're gonna have fun. You know, Gavin.
I totally understand. So Morgan, circling back around, 10 years later, husband, father, and you're coming back to the game table. What was the inspiration for the initial Heroes of Evermore? What made you say, hey, let's do this, let's get together and let's film it, let's put it on Instagram, let's do it live and let people watch it, let's be our own Critical Role? How did that come about for you?
Yeah. I mean, just creating the realm itself in my mind probably took a year. You know, you're essentially creating this video game, but it's just this immersive world, and there's protagonists, antagonists, and everything, plot lines that are happening, past history, wars and such. So throwing the characters in there, having them choose what they want to choose, was my prime goal, and taking so long to create that. And then they can choose to do whatever they want. So they go off to the left, they go off to the right, and I'm kind of shifting and adjusting as we go. And, but bringing it to life, the first campaign, we didn't do that. We just had pictures of the original home game in the living room, at the table. And, it was just bringing joy to all of us. And there were just these movie theater moments that happened in the campaign that I didn't want to be stingy and just save in my mind or just our players' mind. I wanted to share those with everybody as best I could. So we found a good balance here with the second campaign. We've gotten sponsors to help us out with a lot of the aspects to make it become real and immerse our players. And yeah, we've been able to post recaps so people can keep up online and see what's going on. So I love it. I've gotten good feedback so far, so it's great.
I've loved the recaps. I love the full episodes, but you have a schedule. So your live streams only happen on what days and what times? Tell the folks at home.
Yeah. So we do every other week. We try to, outside of scheduling, and we aim for Thursdays at 6:30. So 6:30 p.m. Pacific. So we 9:30 Eastern, and we try to do like a live intro, I chatted with the players beforehand about, you know, if they wanted a full live session or if they wanted just a live intro, and we'll do an intro monologue. We'll do a recap of last session, catch everyone up. And then what we'll do is we'll take all the footage from three different cameras of recording it. And then we'll size that down for, you know, bite size, a little more digestible for people. And we'll post it on our Instagram week or so later. But that is the schedule. Join us, please, on Thursdays, every other Thursday. We'll post it on our Instagram, but 6:30 Pacific and 9:30 Eastern. And we'll actually announce giveaways and raffle winners as well. So
that, yeah. And that's great too. And I love the fact that your sponsors are so generous with the giveaways. And I love the intro and getting caught up, because I miss an episode. I might catch the recap. I might not, but when I get there, I know, oh, okay, good. All right. Now I'm back into it and I get to see what everybody's doing. And I love the ending on cliffhangers. When the frost giant came out of the cave, and you just put that giant miniature on the board, which, by the way, I always love. When the players get to see this thing is massive compared to my miniature, oh my goodness, the look on their faces is incredible. Let's talk about the setup a little bit, because your table, for folks at home who are listening, they haven't seen it yet. They haven't been to Heroes of Evermore on Instagram. They haven't looked at it. I hope they're listening and looking now. But your setup is incredible. You've got the table with the TV on it. You've got the miniatures, you've got the maps, the fog machine. Tell us some of your favorite parts of your setup. Is that in your garage? Is that where you guys are set up now?
Yes. Yeah. So we moved from the living room to the garage. We have a side entrance now into the garage. So we have a tavern sign that's hanging up, so players can come hang out on the side yard, have the tavern sign, enter into the tavern / dungeon. And, you know, as we all do, we love this hobby. It comes with so much. And so making it space efficient for our spouses is ideal. And so I'm wording this very carefully, Nick. What we've done was this table that was in the garage, you know, it's a prime parking spot. So I chatted with my wife about this. And what we were able to do is I was able to find a winch system and for a camper shell for a truck, and take the legs off the table and be able to winch it. And so with the press of a button, it can elevate up to the top of the garage and a car can be pulled in. So it's correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first ever levitating D&D table out there. So I'm very proud of it. I asked the players, like, does it wobble too much? They're like, no, this is great. It's solid wood, so it has a good weight to it. And I surprised my players in session zero, where I set up the fold-out plastic table, which, hey, if you're starting out, anything works, please. Mm-hmm. But I set up the plastic table with the old school DM screen and, you know, a couple little candles on there. And then as they came in, I turned on some epic music and had fog coming from the top as I lowered it down. And they were just, the faces they made were just beautiful, priceless, priceless. So I have that in one of, I think, our session zero recap on Instagram. I have that showcased. But anyways, that's one of the favorite parts of the area in there. But the fog machine, you know, looking up, I used to use dry ice and water for campaign one. And I looked up a more efficient way to use like a humidifier, a little more safe and conscious as well for the family at the table. But definitely getting that smoke fog effect. And you know, there's at Camping World, there's magic flames. So you can like this dust in a fire and it makes it green, you know, like somebody's casting, conjuring a spell. And it's just, and it's safe. It's in a candle. Like it's like a very, I love bringing that immersion. And one of our sponsors too, being the Gameplay Candles, I light a candle for each and every different encounter. There's pine trees, there's Dwarven Mountain Hall, and it just breaks down that fourth wall and really immerses the player. So that's what I love about the table and the setup and bringing people, you know, into the realm.
I think that's so incredible how you go above and beyond, because with Dungeon Masters, really, when you are to up your art, your skill as a Dungeon Master, one of the things that is probably the highest point of the game is when the players almost forget that they're sitting around a table and they feel like they're in the action, that they are their character, that the danger is real. And that is where those memories that last for decades come from. And full color maps and all of these things that just bring you in. What we're trying to appeal to is all of the senses. Once all the senses are in, because mentally we're imagining the action and how it's happening. And for some people who have really strong imaginations, they can envision it like a movie, right? And as a Dungeon Master, you're trying to use your words to describe things in such a way that everyone at the table knows what this particular chair we're talking about looks like. Yep. But you take it to the next level. You try to enter in all of the senses with the visual effects, with the lighting, with the smells, and the food. One of my favorite things about running games, especially for children, is making a game session a theme party with food that goes along with it. Morgan, I got to see some of the images and some of the videos about some of the food spreads that you guys have had for games. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a blast. And like you said, it's that extra layer that brings them in like a hero's feast, right? Brings them into the realm. And I've even ran last year's birthday. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Birthday session. It was our final campaign one, big bad evil guys session throwdown. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are currently at the Dwarven Hall. I'm going to say you all are doing this actual feast you have right here is going to give you that bonus for the Heroes Feast. Like, just make it real. And at the table, if I can tell anybody, typically your local grocery stores, hopefully you can find the right one, should have giant turkey legs that you find at, like, let's say Disneyland or Disney World or whatever the case, but they should have them there. I'm very cost conscious, budget conscious with all the things that we do. And so, but getting that at the table is just next level. I'm like, okay, you got giant eagle legs, you know, or whatever the case may be, whatever monster you want to dub them to be that you've slain in your campaign. But yeah, we've loved that, having that at the table whenever we can.
One of the stories I love sharing is we did a Dungeons and Dragons campaign one time, and I was reading in Gygax magazine, which was a short-lived 4-issue magazine series, that there was there's a book called Men and Monsters Polynesian D&D Supplement Encounters. My wife and I were reading it, and we thought it was really cool. And so we went ahead and I wrote a short campaign for my children based on the mythology of Polynesia. And so they played traditional D&D characters, but they get shipwrecked in an archipelago. And in that archipelago, they encounter monsters from Polynesian mythology, and they interact with some caricatures of Polynesian cultures with the NPCs. But to take it to the next level, each session we decorated the dining room like a luau, and we had food from Polynesia as part of the adventure. And it went so above and beyond, because they, and to this day, even though they were small, it's one of their favorite memories of gaming at the table, because they remember the food and the decorations and the lays and all of the strange and interesting creatures of Polynesia. So that just kind of, I think, ties into your idea of the hero's feast and having the players actually get to taste what their heroes would be tasting at the table. It brings it to that next level. So Morgan, you do an amazing job. That immersion is pro level right there. So I can't thank you enough for that and sharing that with the folks on Instagram. So Morgan, you've got some amazing things in the works. Now, book one has already come out. It's on Amazon. Tell the folks at home what they can expect if they buy themselves a copy on Amazon today.
Yes. So Heroes of Evermore, part one, An Unlikely Gathering. So you can go on Amazon right now. And this is, we have some followers from the UK who have found it on Amazon.uk. And the feedback, we've gotten great reviews so far, 5-star reviews on Amazon, a couple other Instagram reviews. So that's some huge praise. Super grateful. This is my first book, my first writing. So I'm glad to see it.
Congratulations.
Go a long way. Thank you. And people have asked, oh, is it like a D&D module that you made based off your campaign? It is actually a novel based on our campaign. So what the players decided to do, these are all of our players are on the front cover, and what they chose to do in the realm. So essentially I've given them credit in the back as co-authors of this because they told their story, what they wanted to do. And I filled in some plot lines and things like that. But it's about 100 pages. We've got pictures in here of the events and things that have gone on. We've got a map on the front cover. So just really excited. I wanted to see this through. It was a 2-year passion project, a year of writing on the front porch while having coffee in the mornings. This is BK before kids, but you can still make it work during nap time. All right. It's still a thing. And so doing that, pouring just the memories from the campaign just coming out, and it's just so fun to relive that and then to put it on paper. And then about a year of finalizing, critiquing, sending off to editors, and then getting it published. So I'm so excited to see it realized. Yeah.
Well, Morgan, congratulations on that first book. We're excited to get to read it and for the part two that'll be coming out later. And I want you to know, this is probably the dream of so many dungeon masters that are listening to this interview, that you get to run your campaign and then turn it into an actual novel. And I know a lot of dungeon masters like to turn it into modules. So Morgan, that's my next question for you. Are we going to see Heroes of Evermore modules so I can bring them home to my table and run it for my friends and family?
Ooh. I love that idea. It's been in the back of my mind, but for the sake, as all dads know, for time's sake, you know, if somebody's listening to this and has created modules in the past, I would happily collaborate with you and bring this thing to life if they're interested, and put your name on it too. But yeah, I would love that. The encounters that I've created, you know, that's something that I would love to bring to other people's tables. 100%. Yeah.
That's fantastic. But
yeah,
Morgan, you're not satisfied with being a successful Instagram influencer. You're not satisfied with being a successful author. No, you've got to take it to the next level. And now you've got a video game in the works. It's in beta for the World of Evermore. Tell the folks at home a little bit about that video game.
Yeah, thank you. I know. I don't know what's wrong with me, Nick. it just falls back to bringing this world to life in a visual platform. And so not just in our heads, which we love, and people around the table, but sharing these moments, sharing this world that any dungeon master who has homebrewed, like, it's your baby, you know, and to see it come to life, and the joy that dungeon masters get when players are like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was the best session. I love it. It just fills your tank and just wants you to start for you to keep going. So I've grown up playing video games. As I mentioned, I love them. I've played MMORPGs constantly. And being a dad, it's dwindled. That time has dwindled, but I've always wanted to create one. You know, when Game of Thrones came around, I started like, okay, how am I going to learn how to build a video game in this realm that has been created? It's beautiful. And started diving into developing platforms, Unity and Unreal. And I actually landed with Unity after much research and started trying to do it on my own. So I found out what style I wanted. You know, realism is just so expensive to purchase and create assets with, but this low poly is beautiful in its way, like almost like a World of Warcraft feel. A little less, a lot less polished, because Blizzard has beautiful and endless funds to back them. But yeah, you know, putting Evermore in the most, like I said, cost efficient way. I found sales, the Unity store. I found Cinti, like a different publisher that make prefabricated assets, elven housing and minute, you know, like characters. So I found characters that resemble our heroes, you know, and when they go on sale, I've been purchasing them here and there. So I have this plethora library of prefabricated assets that just need to be plugged into the realm. And I've tried doing it on my own, and it's very difficult. It takes that skill and somebody to have learned that and honed that. And so I started looking on Fiverr and to see what game developers have that similar style or have created previous games in a low poly third person outlet. And I found this amazing developer, Aegis Studios, out of the UK. And the owner, Josh, I've been talking with, and he's just an amazing person. We did a consultation. I told him, oh, I've got an idea for this. I've bought all these things. Here's the Kickstarter idea. If I could get it going, you know, how much would you need for to build out the whole realm? And so we really nitpicked everything and went over it. And he recommended doing like a beta, right? Like doing and he offered, not a part of his studios, but as him, to include to build like a crossover, like a little PvP, like town of Evermore, one of our towns in the campaign, one in the realm, and make it so people can jump in and do that. So it's a crossover event in his world that he's built, this low poly world. That's why I reached out to him, because he has this fluid world, Aegis Kingdoms, and he has different areas that are called clash events. And so he's like, hey, you give me the content and I'll create this little, you know, crossover event for you and see what it gets so I can invite people to it. So that is our hope to get there towards the end of the year, start building that and hopefully using my prefabricated assets I've purchased and get something out there. So keep an eye out. I'll definitely share the invites for people to get into it. And if we get good traction from it, then launch a Kickstarter based on what we've seen.
Morgan, I just want to praise you real quick. I have talked with creators who they have ideas, they jump right into Kickstarters, and Kickstarters are a lot of work. They're very time consuming, they're very stressful. They can, they don't, people look at incredible Kickstarters like, you know, like Critical Role's $8 million Kickstarter. They look at things like Reaper miniatures that nets like $1 million to $2 million on each one of their miniature starter boxes, Kickstarters.
Dimwit.
Yes. And it's like they look at that and they think that just happens in the, in a vacuum, that just somebody has an idea, they put it on Kickstarter, it magically just happens. And what I love about your approach, not only to Heroes of Evermore, but also to the book and to the video game and all of those things that you're trying to do, is that you have a down-to-earth, realistic expectations, and you're going by benchmarks and you're slowly building up to, instead of thinking, okay, I came up with this idea and I'd like to have it by Wednesday, right? You actually, you're like, let's do these steps. Let's find this way. Let's, you know, okay, I'm going to watch these things, and when they come on sale, I'm going to get them, and things like that. And I think that's such a great lesson for content creators, for authors, for game designers, is to know, listen, these things don't happen in a vacuum. They don't happen without hard work, and they don't happen without planning. And I think your explanation of the process is so great. And I hope people at home are listening. And I hope that the creators who are kind of discouraged that they had this great idea, that they put it on Kickstarter, that it didn't make $8 million in the first day. And, you know, and they didn't get their video, full-fledged video game that rivals World of Warcraft by Wednesday, right? I hope they're listening and I hope they're taking note and I hope that they're encouraged to keep working, to keep pushing, to take it by benchmarks and to keep on it and don't let go, because your ideas are beautiful. They're inspiring and people need to experience your games and your creativity. So folks at home, don't give up, keep going. And like Morgan said, take it logically, cost efficiently, take it in steps and you'll make it. You'll make it. Like Morgan's going to make it and maybe I'm going to make it. You know, we're all going to make it, right? Yeah. So I think one of the greatest things I ever heard, it's not about skill. It's about showing up. It's about tenacity. It's about every day I'm going to work on this thing a little bit, even if it's only during nap times, I'm going to get a little bit done and get a little bit closer to that goal. Morgan, thank you so much for sharing your home campaign with us, your homebrew world, your book, the video game. We're excited for it to come out and to try it. Morgan, thank you so much for all your contributions to the tabletop and Dungeons & Dragons community. And we can't wait to see what happens next on Heroes of Evermore.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for the praise. Thank you for having me. And amen to all of that. Keep going. Keep crushing it. Just show up each and every day. Yeah, I 100% agree.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.